I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
The Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Yes, sir.
The Post Credit original, lovers of film and TV. This is probably going to be possibly one of my favorite episodes. I think it could be. I'm really excited to talk about this topic today, and I'm really excited the fact that we've got a friend of the show back for a third time.
Woo, cheers.
But firstly, a round of applause for the one and only Ore.
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
Otherwise known as Ore Views, one of the most talented writers that I know.
Thanks.
Great content creator as well. How about you?
I'm good. Sun's shining. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good, man. Good. Well, we're glad to have you here. Manny, how are you?
I'm all good, my guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, living life.
Looking forward to the sun and so on and so forth.
I am really much looking forward to the sun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the holiday.
Weekend and that.
The weekend has been okay.
Okay.
It's been okay, but the week is going to be better.
Why?
Because I'm just speaking into existence.
Amen.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week.
Are you comfortable there?
Yeah, sorry, I need to. Like, do you know what? Yeah, I was looking at the footage from another episode we did. I was so comfortable. And I was like, what was I doing that time? So my feet were up.
You just wanted short legs.
You might have been next to Hushin.
No, I was here. So remember you saying the exact same thing to me? Yeah, as you are.
How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm so happy to see you guys. I feel like it's been ages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been 3 weeks.
It honestly has.
But feels, I don't know why it feels so much longer.
Yeah.
We lost.
I wasn't here that.
She didn't record with us.
I feel like he came late.
No, it doesn't sound
right. That doesn't sound right.
Or was that the day you didn't come?
There was time I didn't come.
I feel like it was like over a month ago.
Actually, no, yeah, because the time before that was ages. So I actually haven't seen, like, I've seen you guys maybe twice over the space of like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, and she don't invite us out, so there's that.
Oh, yeah.
That's cap and a half.
Where's my Hennessy bottle? She even aired my message.
Do you know what? I aired it so I can tell you in real life.
the manipulation is unbelievable.
Is that you're not getting it?
I prefer
something. Bad news in real life.
Yeah, because bad news across the board. Just cut off camera.
Okay. Oh, damn.
Yeah, man.
Oh no. Okay.
That's a shame.
No, trust me. Bitches.
We're here as young Brits. I like to still say that I'm young, so I'm gonna throw that out there firstly. We're here as young Brits to discuss the impact and the allure of British TV shows. I think we make some of the best shit in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Completely. And I think we are some of the best actors that have sort of left our shores, I guess, that have gone on to great things as well. So we're going to talk about some of the best TV shows across the board that are British. Manny.
Yes.
I know you're a lover of British shows and so on and so forth. British actors, sort of theatre. What is it for you that the Brits do that makes it so great?
I think they just do drama really good. I think they know how to express themselves without saying too much. And I love British wit as well. Mm. I think when I watch like comedy-led not even comedy led, but TV shows with quite a bit of comedy that's written by a British writer or being performed by British actors, it tends to be my favourite. Mm. And yeah, I think we'll just do drama better than our
counterparts
across the sea.
Ore, anything for you in terms of any of our actors or sort of why you think we make some of the best TV shows?
I feel like, similar to Manny, it's that like dryness that Brits have just in general. Like, even away from TV, like, we're not really into the, like, slapstick type stuff. Like, it's very dry, it's, like, witty, it's very... And I think because we are like that as Brits, that comes across in, like, the writing and in TV and stuff. So even if it's... Whether it's a drama, whether it's a comedy, there's that dryness that's, like...
Underlying.
That just... Yeah, and that just works. I feel like, yeah, that just... That does it for me.
Mm. But Sola, anything
for you?
You've
got a really nice rasp to your voice.
Yeah.
She's in a relationship.
I lost my voice a little bit.
But she's in a relationship.
Okay, no. She said I'll put it away. She said I'll put it away. She's been watching Challengers.
You can hear the music.
I lost the train of thought.
What? She seems flustered.
Okay.
She's looking like your hair.
You're flustered, isn't it?
I am. Sorry. Made me nervous. I actually forgot what I was going to say.
I'll ask you a question then.
Okay.
Name me some of your favourite, maybe British actors from any sort of period, and maybe why. I'm intrigued.
And why?
Yeah.
Okay. But okay. My point is going to be a bit...
Feel free. We trust you.
I want to say Damson, but that doesn't really make sense if we're talking British shows, because I love him for his role in an American series. So I don't think that's,
that's still, you can still
why do you think he was able to do that short so well?
Because he's just really good at what he does. Like, I think he's a really, really good actor. And I think the way we saw Franklin evolve over like 5-6 seasons, I was like, because even I was trying to rewatch it, I was like, after watching the finale, then starting again, I was like, shit, this is, that boy can act. Like, he's good at what he's doing here. Even down to the accent. I think the accent's even just the most basic part of it all. Like, the excitement of between season 1 and 3, when he's super excited to be like a drug dealer and be a kingpin, and then him being a kingpin and actually like running these streets to his demise, and like him scrambling the last episode, I was like, this is, I'm really like gripped here. But yeah, so I think he's our greatest export for me right now.
Right now.
I think it's because I'm rewatching Snowfall, so I'm getting a bit of recency bias. But Daniel Kaluuya as well. But again, my favorite roles from them aren't British shows, so I don't think.
But where they came from to where they are now,
and I think that's was really impressive. Right? Even my man, I keep forgetting his name. The one that was also in Skins,
Dev Patel.
That's
Nicholas
it.
Holt. Oh, okay.
Watching them both be like these mega stars, yeah, it's like. They're both on Skins.
Yeah.
I don't know why I say Skins like it's a slur, yeah, but it's like Skins, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have thought that.
That's our little thing.
Yeah, be like Hollywood stars. Yeah.
That's kind of, it feels really personal. Even, I know, is it you that doesn't like Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Nathan, who was on Misfits, which I loved, was my favourite like British shows of all time.
We'll talk about that.
Then being in Umbrella Academy, pretty much playing the same character, for being completely honest. He was one of my standout actors from that scene. Like, I really enjoyed his acting and his character in the Umbrella Academy. So again, they started on British shows, but what they managed to do elsewhere, and when they're acting alongside a lot of the Americans, I think they just do a better job, and like they look better, and it's sometimes a bit embarrassing because they look a lot better than the rest of them. Like, I'm a bit shy for the other actors sometimes.
Talking about Nathan, the one that plays I can't remember what his
Robert
name
Sheehan.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Robert Sheehan.
Thank you. Even like we talked about the wit, like his character, I can't imagine an American playing his character. Like, he's just stupidly funny without actually doing much.
I was going to ask you your favorite export, but let's just get into Misfits, because I think that's such a great.
So good.
It's one of the best shows from that particular time period, and I think that could come out now. Personally, we discussed this a few weeks ago, and I think you disagreed, right? You kind of thought it couldn't come out today.
No, but my reason was that we don't watch shows the way. It's more of us as consumers where we don't watch shows the way we did back then, and I think that's all it is. I don't think we could hold on to this comes out once a week this time. I think
it'd be different. I think it'd be like a Netflix produced. It'd be overproduced. Like, even that simplicity, like what we were watching, like Misfits, Skins, any of those kind of shows, that level of simplicity in like production, we don't really get that nowadays
at all. I think it'd be like a big production. And I think that's what we love about Misfits, is that it's pretty much just based in a community centre, and they leave every now and again, but we don't need them to leave. They need to just stay there.
Quite intimate in that regard, right?
And you just focus on what, 5 or 6 people constantly, and there's one person that always changes, so their community officer, whatever they are, constantly changes. But other than that, I don't need anything else. If it came out now, there'll be explosions. Stop it. Do you know what I mean? Like, even the lightning, like, the thing that changes everything, is so basic. Like, it feels like it was made, and the budget was like £4.
Low budget.
I mean, like, the lightning was struck, and then their life changed.
Yeah, it's quite low. It seemed like quite a low budget for the time.
Yeah,
right?
But I like it. I think just
keeps a grittiness to it.
I think a lot of those, like Channel 4. Yeah, a lot of those Channel 4 shows were like that, in terms of like lower budget, unknown actors at the time, which like that worked for then. I don't know if it would work now, but for then, I think that worked really well.
No, bringing that back, man. I want more actors I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah, because I don't really care about your name. Yeah. If you do a great job, just do a great job.
Okay.
I also think that, you know what you were saying about the UK and US, like the UK actors like outshining US counterparts, whatever. I have a theory. I think that...
I hear it.
So, you know, in America, everything's very, like... This is really... I'm generalising, sorry to Americans, but everything's really, like, in school, if you're, like, the theatre kid, they have, like, huge theatres in their school. It's, like, everything's kind of there for them. It's there for the taking. And it's a little bit... I'm not saying they're not talented, but it's easier. It's there for like the facilities are there. It's the same way like sports. Yeah, like if you're good at like baseball, basketball, you'll just keep going and you won't pay for college and it's just mad and it will just keep like spiraling. Here, we don't have that. If you don't go to Brit School or Sylvie Young, you're not. There's no other.
There's no other shop.
And I, obviously, I'm speaking like London centric. There's probably like other like regional examples, but do you know what I mean? Like we don't have that like in our regular schools and stuff. So I feel like maybe the grind for it is a little bit more here because if you want to be an actor, like you, where are you?
You have to go out of your way.
You're not going to the theatre that's downstairs in your school. There is no theatre downstairs. We were doing our plays into the school halls where we were doing our assemblies. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no theatre.
There's a very grounded nature.
Yeah,
it speaks to the sort of the shows that we actually produce.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it.
It also speaks on the fact that a lot of our favourite actors had to get breaks outside of the UK.
Yeah.
Like from Idris Elba, even Damson Idris, like so the first big roles were from American shows rather than here.
Yeah.
And I guess it speaks on the grind that people have to have in the UK in comparison.
I think what helps us as well is that hip hop culture within the UK that came from America. We were privy to seeing accents, depictions, the culture, the food, the music, everything was sort of fed to us on MTV base or whatever sort of channels it was coming on the radio. And I think that also plays a huge part. Whereas what we produce is not necessarily in the face of Americans until maybe recent years where there's social media.
Like a Top Boy changed the whole depiction of the UK for Americans.
Yeah.
Cause like, I've gone on TikTok and see like Baby speaking a British accent, the American spins me. Mm. It spins me entirely. You know, you guys are not meant to do this.
I know, we're meant to do it.
The running joke is that they can never do our accent, but we can always do their accent.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because that's just a regular person could do a great American accent. Now imagine a trained actor. Of course we're going to take your roles. I'm so sorry. Like,
And that's been a huge conversation with Americans where they've had an issue with...
No, I said something about Damson earlier. He's one of his great roles as well was Farmin.
Farmin was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He literally said all of two lines.
Farmin was amazing.
Like, but Farmin was just a really intense.
Yeah. Movie,
like. It was about, what's his name?
Adewale something. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in that Marvel movie.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know exactly.
That's not even Marvel.
Yeah. Have you seen Farmin?
No.
Good film.
It's so good. It's intense.
Yeah, very.
It's all based on a true story, which makes it even more intense.
Okay. Just back to Misfits quickly, because I want to ask you guys why you loved it so much. It's a British sci-fi comedy drama series based upon young offenders that are sentenced to work in a community service program where they obtain superpowers after a strange electrical storm. That electric storm was basically a farce, firstly. Like, not a farce in terms of the concept of it. It was just like seeing it was, like, because I watched the series back maybe a month and a bit ago. Mm. It was just so funny to see the sort of the production value of the.
I'm not joking. Like, it was just lightning. It only hit that place as well. And it's done.
But I was still immersed in, like, what happened. Like, when my man became a werewolf, the community.
Yeah.
Like, you watch that today and you're like, this is stupid. But it was still so good to watch. You guys, open floor. Why did you love Misfits when it sort of burst onto our shores?
He looks so happy. That's
what it sounds like. Oh, my first love. Misfits was one of the shows that really got me into TV.
Okay.
Like, proper. I think it was my first time watching stuff that I wasn't meant to watch as well. What came out? 2007? 2000.
Where are we? It came out in the year 2009.
I was 9 years old. I shouldn't be watching that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's wild. So he's watching Alicia going crazy.
Exactly.
That's so insane.
Do you know what I mean? So
that's wild.
Exactly. So it's my first time watching.
You saw that ball scene at 9 years of age.
There was something about watching things when you were younger, though, wasn't there?
Do you guys remember, watching Sex and the City or seeing it on TV and being like, guys, this is the greatest day ever. Then finding out it's like girls exploring their like womanhood.
Yeah.
You're watching free porn.
Yeah.
And being like, oh my gosh. And it's like, oh,
there's a particular scene in Sex and the City I remember watching as a preteen. I'm not going to say it on here because it's a bit brazy. But yeah, I get it.
Do you know what I mean? So I guess I was watching it and I was like, wow, this is, even aside from all the horniness, I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. I think it's something different as well. And I love that it was an... It wasn't super long. It didn't feel really long.
Yeah.
I think episodes were like 45 minutes max.
Yeah.
So it was quite a sort of six episodes a season, very fast paced to the point. For Robert Sheehan is obviously the star of the series. Unbelievable as Nathan. Such a good actor, man. Like Nathan was just such a doof, like, but very, also very charming. And I think what the series did was with the young offenders, they showed a humanity to Asbos, Young Offenders, they showed the humanity to the fact that these are more than just what they've been portrayed to be, especially at that time.
It was really timely. I was just going to say, really timely Asbo, as well. Young Offenders,
like, I remember hearing Asbo every single time the news came on, you'd hear Asbos.
Or even Chavs, because obviously Chavs, Kelly.
She was so good.
She was so good. So good.
Talk to
I think the whole, like, spectrum of people that they had, like the spectrum of characters that they had. So like Nathan Kelly, but it also like diverse in
just not even how they
the
look,
type of people, like their personalities.
One's an athlete, like I always love a What If episode. I love those episodes.
Oh, yeah, they did that with Curtis,
yeah, like and then it was like a What If he like when he went back in time
just
and was like,
on
oh,
track,
on track, and actually, oh, they would have died. Or this, like, you kind of put the power into other people's hands. Oh, I just loved it, but I just hated that it just went downhill after season two,
I can still appreciate really it for its greatness for those first two seasons, though, because those first two seasons.
But it's crazy that your first two seasons have done that much that we love it, even though the last two were really bad.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited in a while, so I'm gonna have to do that shit.
I did it recently. I do want to rewatch it. I rewatched it recently, and I was like, "Nah, this is quality."
It's on Netflix.
Even the where the rest of the actors have gone on to do as well. You got Ewan?
Ewan Rian.
Yeah.
The scariest character in Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah.
Actually frightening.
Yeah. But the diversity in his roles, right? Like, comparing that character.
Yeah. Completely different.
Versus Ramsay Bolton is insanity.
And then you got Nathan Jarrett.
Nathan Stewart Jarrett.
He went on to do Candyman. He recently starred in a film called Femme in Netflix, which is actually a good film.
He's in Femme?
He's the lead role in Femme. I really like the film, to be fair. And there's other roles that he's done. I think he's done another TV show where it was like a main role. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, just seeing them do other stuff and be successful at it is good to see.
Yeah, definitely. Love
what has my girl gone to do?
You talking about Antonia Thomas, who played Alicia? Or
no, not Alicia. I feel like I've seen her about.
Lauren Soshar, who was Kelly.
Kelly, yeah.
Oh, was it a career turnout?
Because what did she do? What was the exact?
I don't know.
She won a BAFTA TV award in the Best Supporting Actress.
That's she's done some racist shit, some other weird shit.
That's not really a shock or horror.
Anything of note? She's still acting today. The other one, Shed of the Dead, Urban Myths, Strange. I feel like these are more like sort of underground films and shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's still acting. So.
Okay.
Yeah, she's still acting.
I haven't seen that about whatsoever.
Speaking of sort of teen dramas, Skins.
Oh my God, Skins was actually.
I've full seen.
Have you not watched it?
I watched it.
I've watched season one.
Like I've watched episodes really like here and there.
I've watched season one.
I think you'd really like it.
Yeah.
Skins is.
It reminds me of Angus Song's The Perfect Snoggin.
Yeah, but like hardcore.
Yeah.
Skins was great. Skins was guys.
Talk to us.
Guys, Skins was actually life changing.
What's so good about it?
First of all, so again, it had the same kind of, well, not the same, but like similar formula Misfits had in terms of like that diversity of character, weird, edgy people. That you're watching, I feel like at the time as well, it was like the time where, you know, like they're like edgy, they're a little bit like they look like they don't shower, but that was kind of cool, that kind of vibe.
That Shameless.
So it was, but it was like that, not as like bad and Shameless, but like edging towards that. So it was that kind of vibe, but I feel like that was kind of cool. So it worked, it was very timely. The acting, insane. And I always think about the fact that they did the open auditions at like a college or something. So they were all. All of them, all Dev Patel, Danny Cleary, all of them, like the girl that's Effie, Kaya Scollard-Bowen, all of them went to open auditions from season one. They did every season when they checked, because they did two seasons each because it's college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the 2 years of college are the two seasons
that makes sense.
The characters get. And every two seasons, it was open auditions. So it's just regular people from regular areas. That
so
again,
speaks to your point earlier about the sort of
opportunity.
So
but I just think that, like, I feel like Channel 4 are quite, like, they're quite socialist, aren't they? So I feel like that's quite, just as a production, whatever. So I feel like that leans into their philosophy, but it just worked so well. It's so, like, it must have been on quite late. Because it's very, like,
it
not...
10.
Yeah, like...
Was it on Channel 4? Was it on E4? Or was it Channel 4?
It would have been E4.
It would have been E4, I feel like. Yeah, it would have been E4. But it's so... The acting's so good. Storyline's so good. It's very, like... It gets quite dark. But the acting... there's one guy... what's his name? He was Freddy. Luke... And he has, I think it's like an Italian name or something, like his surname.
I can check.
Look at the way you said it.
It's like, I don't know.
Luke.
That was me being like.
Luke Pasqualino.
First of all.
Luke Pasqualino.
Pasqualino. First of all, I loved him. That's actually the first thing I have to say. I actually, adored him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if he walked past my school, I would have picked
up. Really
yeah.
lovely hair.
He had short hair when he was younger.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Zayn Malik.
And yeah, that kind of vibe, yeah. exactly. But honestly, his storyline, I don't want to spoil it, but his storyline.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Because I'm watching it. You need to watch it. Remember you said, you need to watch Planet of the Apes. This is your homework, bro.
No one needs to watch that shit.
You know what?
And you tell me you need to watch Lord of the Rings as well.
You do need to watch Lord of the Rings.
I've never watched Lord of the Rings.
You watch it, please.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to look at that to you.
Sorry. But Skins, guys, please. Okay. Please watch it.
I'll watch it. I need to watch
you
Skins.
You would love it.
What's the other one you guys talked about?
The Office?
No. Scandal.
You need to. Yeah. We spoke about that ages ago.
I know.
A whole year ago.
Yeah, it was ages ago. You need to. Skins, do you like Euphoria?
I love you for real.
Skins
first season, I love it.
So Skins okay. is better than Euphoria for more seasons.
Okay.
So
I think that's a fair. Yeah.
And British. So, yeah.
Question, because we had Skins and Misfits, and I think Sex Education is the only one I can think of in recent years. Is there like any other like late teens coming of age TV shows?
Not that I can think Britain? Of. There probably in is, Britain? But not that I can think of.
I guess Borders is the closest we got, but I so...
And that's sort of that's school as well, right?
Yeah.
School,
and it's also like, I can imagine people like, oh, it's too black. I can imagine that.
Oh, that definitely was happening. Mm.
So,
I think it's not like comparable to like a.
Yeah, like a general cast, but it's just not just like five people like that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Overproduction, Sex Education versus the Skins.
Mm.
Yeah. Sex Education is too overproduced at some point.
I think that's the Netflix
too,
thing.
Yeah, but at some point,
yeah.
It's too polished.
Like, if Misfits came out now.
It would be Netflixified.
Yeah,
I liked the first few seasons of Sex Ed, and as it went on, I just lost interest in that series.
I think I liked all the. I didn't like the last season.
Yeah,
I just remember watching it, thinking I'm watching this because I kind of have to finish.
Yeah, I just want to finish this.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But I didn't enjoy it.
So many questions that I had to ask the whole time, like where are they?
Yeah, what new characters. Like it was all just like, I don't know. It was yeah, but I did like the other season. But I think that their Sex Education's vibe is a. Direct result of it being
a Netflix
show, and yeah. also a 2020 whatever Netflix show.
Yeah, in today's world.
Yeah,
yeah. Question before we move on, Manny. Yeah. Favorite export from here that's gone on to do great things.
The first person that comes to mind is Michaela Cole.
Yeah,
I think she's amazing. Yeah. Like I really liked I May Destroy You. I think mm-hmm. that's a really 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 good series, and obviously she's done Chewing Gum as well. She's now been in the second Black Panther. There's other stuff that she's done. I can't think of the top of my head, but mainly speaking on I May Destroy You, I think the writing in it is so brilliant, and it kind of reminds me of it's completely different. But Phoebe Waller-Bridge as well. Like I love her writing as well in Fleabag. I know that she did a few of the James Bond films. She wrote the first two seasons of Killing Eve. So yeah, those two, Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Michaela Cole, right now I have my heart in terms of like not just. Necessarily just acting, but as writers specifically, because I really do appreciate how they convey emotions and the dialogue they have and how funny and witty it is. It makes, like, to me, they're real British writers. So yeah, I really appreciate them both.
I'm going just through a list, yeah, and I'll get back to it. I want to ask Ori in a second, but like, I'm reading a list of like, you've got Christian Bell.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he's been in like TV dramas per se, just in terms of actor. Sean Benn, who was Ned Stark in Game of Thrones. We got Michael Caine here, like in terms of just actors.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Someone interesting. Olivia Colman is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah. Have you watched?
Not yet. I need to. I know.
What?
Little
Letters.
Yeah.
Oh no,
that
I haven't.
It's hilarious.
It's a good film.
No, I actually planned to. I did want to. Yeah.
Sangria being like, this is the great.
Yeah.
This is so funny.
I'm already watching the summer with a little wave on, with a little drink.
I think we're the best.
I need to watch.
I think we're the best in the world.
Oh yeah.
Charles Dance, who was Thingy in Game of Thrones, he was Cersei's dad.
Okay.
Tywin,
yeah.
Like Judy Dench, the list could just go on and on. But yeah, before I get lost in this, we'll move on. Ori, do you have a favourite or a couple of favourite exports that have sort of gone on to do good things?
Yes. I am going to go with... I really like Dev Patel, so I'm going to go with Dev Patel. He's one of them.
Monkey Man is superb.
Monkey Man is so good.
You should.
You guys are telling me it's not scary, but I just don't believe you.
It's not scary. It's not scary.
Nah, man.
It's really good.
And it's also an 18. Like, you can't. That's,
I think it's an 18 because of the violence. It's violent, but it's not scary. Mm. It's not scary.
Go view across.
so good.
Can you leave?
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
I'm trying to beat you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dev Patel because he's really talented. And I'm also going to go with, again, still from Skins, but I really, really like Jack O'Connell, I think. So good. So talented. I watched Back to Black, which I thought was actually horrendous, but...
He was the best thing about it.
He was the best thing about it because he's so talented. Yeah. He's so, so talented. I've seen him in films, obviously. Saw him in Skins. I've also seen him in theatre.
Okay.
No. So talented. He was with Sienna Miller. It was like Cat on the...
What was the...
Thing? Cat on the Hot Tin Roof or something. Okay. I don't know. I went with the book club, but it was great. He was great. So yeah, I think he's really, really talented. And I think he's got a few more things coming out like this year, next year. But yeah.
Speaking of theatre, obviously I mentioned Phoebe and Michaela Cole and also Richard Gott? Good? The guy that did...
Richard Gott.
Baby Reindeer.
I feel there's so much talent within like theatre. Production and theatre shows, especially when it comes to the writing. I don't know if you guys Shifters.
I didn't watch it. Oh, I'm so sad.
It's one of the best written things I've ever
conceived.
Ever.
Everyone like, that went to go and watch it said when,
you haven't seen the same thing.
When who said it?
As you guys have all said the same thing.
Shifters is so good. When it comes back, I implore anybody to watch it. It's one of the best written things I've ever consumed in any sort of medium, and just so much great writing within.
Tossin Cole, he was in it.
Tossin Cole, he's really good as well. And Heather. I'm not going to butcher her name, but I'm not going to get it wrong. But yeah, Heather, yeah, let me not do it. But yeah, it's one of the best reading things. But in general, like theatre, like I just love the production and the writing within it. And it's so good because it's so intense and personal and emotional within it. And you can't hide behind anything else. You only have the dialogue and the acting to carry it. And it has to be so good for you to enjoy it. But yeah. Sorry,
I feel like there's a rite of passage as well, especially over here. I feel like every actor that we love or enjoy has all done theatre.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot more impressive.
Yeah.
I think you can do loads of TV shows and stuff, which is great. Because even Phil Mitchell was on, he's the...
sorry, that was so random.
Steve McFadden, that's my guy, man.
Yeah.
He was just...
Hey, he's a good actor.
He's a theatre production.
He's a good actor. It's like a training ground, in a sense. Yeah. It's like your...
I think everyone...
Tom Holland came from theatre?
Yeah.
And now he's going back to... He's doing Romeo and Juliet.
But they'll do a bit, then they'll go back and they'll do it. I think they're just to kind of prove that you still got it properly. I think it's a great training ground.
Yeah.
Keith Williams from Sex Education, Red Pitch.
Oh, yeah, true.
You've got a favourite ex? Well, Damson's yours, right?
Currently it's Damson, but I think... What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Wrong call.
I think it will be...
Okay.
Just in general, I think it will be Idris.
Okay.
Just because... The Wire is one of my favourite shows of all time.
I'm going to lean to Idris. The Wire, unbelievable. String of Bells, one of the...
I'm going to lean
to either Idris. One of my favourite recents is Kingsley Benadir. I think he's super talented.
He's really, really good.
I think he was kind of let down by the Bob Marley script, Bob Marley One Love. But yeah, he's just very, very...
What he did with it, though, was great. It was so good. Sorry, my other additional one, it's because I'm thinking of young people, but my old head would be Gary Oldman.
He's British.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
Bro, his name's fucking Gary Powell.
Yeah. That's his sister.
Big Mo. Really?
Yeah.
Who's his sister?
That's my fun fact that I tell everyone. Big Mo from EastEnders.
No.
I did not know that. Like, full on same mum, same dad. They're siblings.
That is a fun fact.
Siblings. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his big sister.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Well, yeah,
seeing
British,
as we're here, we're going to get to crime dramas at some point. EastEnders, one of the best.
Totally, yeah.
One of the best.
Manny's favourite.
The problem with EastEnders.
Why problem first?
Sorry, I'm saying. My problem with EastEnders is this, yeah? So I stopped watching it like everyone does, yeah? You just stop watching it.
Yeah.
Then you go back and you're like, wow, some of you motherfuckers cannot act. And it's so when you're watching it from that time you just start watching it up until the time you stop. The break you take, you start watching great TV. It was like, you try to go back to EastEnders, you're like, but that's what I was watching before. Fuck! And
who are you thinking of? Actually, should we be careful with that?
No, I don't remember who it was, but it was, I tried to watch it at some point last year. My friend Henry was doing like a whole breakdown for it. She's like, you need to watch it. It's a great show ever. She tweets about it constantly, yeah? And she was like, here's what's happened. Go and watch it. I said, you've been suffering. There's some really great TV for you. I mean, put you on. Because even if it's BBC, you want to go watch, there's some great TV on there as well. That's not an example of it. It's just, it's a cult. EastEnders is a cult. It's just,
but it's greatness at the same time.
Yeah, it's a cult greatness. And it's just heritage.
Yeah.
It's all that. It was good. Like, even now, apparently now it's gotten a lot better. I haven't watched recently.
The Christmas episode for last year. It's that they,
yeah, I watched that one, yeah.
It was the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Michael, what's his name?
Was that the six? Kind of. Was that them? The women.
Who killed who?
They love a whodunit.
But like, it looked like a Marvel poster. They had like their floating heads, EastEnders underneath, then the men they could have killed, and it was outside the pub like it was. Yeah. And guys, that production level there, yeah. I said they got paid overtime for real.
It's heritage.
EastEnders has had some of the best storylines that I've watched in TV. Who shot Phil Mitchell was absolutely crazy. The storyline
was when outside his house, right? When he was on
yeah,
his
yeah, when he opens the door,
and then he drops down, he rolls down.
Yeah, and then you got the Denise. And the pastor,
Lucas.
That was a great storyline. Yeah, that was a great story. There's a bunch of other ones.
Let's talk about Michael Moon.
Oh yeah. You know what? I don't like Michael Moon as much as other people do.
I like Michael Moon.
Michael Moon was good.
Everyone loved it. It's like, yeah, it's cool.
No, I thought he was so tapped and I loved it.
He was really good. Archie was another one. He scared the laugh out. But I do think with EastEnders though, there's a real spectrum of like the Archies and the Michael Moons in terms of like acting ability.
Yes.
And then I think that's the issue. Which is why that when there are scenes where it's like a Michael Moon like monologue type scene or like Archie, where then you're like, oh my God, best thing ever, because you've kind of just been like, but at the same time, it's a soap and soaps are like that. And it like, that's just kind of the nature of.
Are there any soap stars that we can think of that have like gone on to do? I'm trying to think.
Woman that I want to shout out because I'm talking about British TV. It's from Coronation Street, which I used to watch with my mum, and it was actually quite good, guys. But
I used to watch it.
Okay, thanks.
But, I used to be my evening.
Okay, good.
Hollyoaks.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
oh, Hollyoaks started after the evening.
Because that was the first one. I came at like 5-6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You never used to watch them.
It's outrageous, guys.
Hollyoaks is the worst one.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch it. Like, don't get wrong, all these shows and watch them. But
yeah, but it would start. Hollyoaks was the earliest. Hollyoaks was the earliest.
Yeah, for like 6 o'clock.
Then it would be Emmerdale, Coronation Street,
I wasn't doing that.
But Coronation Street, I want to say her name is Saran Jones. She was Dr. Foster.
Yes.
That woman can act. She can act. Suzanne Jones? Saran?
I think it's Suzanne Jones. I think it is Suzanne.
That woman can act a crime drama. She left Coronation Street and said, she's like signed a contract between ITV and BBC because she switches.
Suzanne.
Oh my God. She was in Coronation Street for ages. And she is so good. Dr. Foster was, again, that was one where I was like hooked.
Yeah.
So good. Have you watched Dr. Foster? Please watch Dr. Foster. Please.
She's also in Gentleman Jack, Vigils.
She's done like quite a few of those, like.
Yeah. No, she's quite.
What are they called? Like terrestrial crime dramas or something. Mm. Yeah.
We love a crime drama.
Yeah, she's done quite a few.
What a fuck. Segway, boys. I love a crime drama. I think that's my bag.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah, you're.
I've been saving your videos every time you talk about crime.
A good recommender.
I'm sick of crime dramas, man.
Why though? Why do you like them so much?
Maybe it was decided wrong.
yeah, that as well. But what else?
they tend to be dark. They tend to explore the psyche of people, especially some of the ones that are, I would deem, more prestigious. So when I say prestigious, I'm talking about something like when I compare The Bill.
Yeah,
which is like essentially like a crime soap opera.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually think, sorry, I'm just.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I think The Bill started my love for crime drama type. Or like crime in TV. I think that was my foundation.
Yeah, did you ever watch Bad Girls?
Yeah,
The prison one.
Yeah.
ITV?
Yeah.
But I think.
No, I think you like Bad Girls.
It's like a British version of The Orange is the New Black. But
I want to watch that.
I was quite young when I was watching.
British TV, touches on really like really crazy things, as in like everything that's happening in real life. EastEnders, there's a whole live episode of EastEnders with like Bradley and Stacey scene.
Yeah.
But it's her having like, she was bipolar or schizophrenic.
Bipolar.
And she's having a full episode.
Yeah.
And she's having a full episode, and there was one of the episodes they shot live.
They're very socially conscious.
So
they've done everything. Even though there was one episode recently, I think it was on point last year, that it was from the ears of a deaf person.
Oh, okay.
Like, why, like, there's only certain sounds you can hear, and like, it was a lot of it was muted until
I read
she got
about
home
that.
And put her hearing aids in, and then started communicating with the world.
That is wavy.
And it was like, they actually do. Because amongst all the madness, there is like a...
Yeah, you try to represent people as well as you can.
It feels quite reflective. I guess that's what you can do when you've got like 20,000 seasons. Like you have to at some point tap in.
You have to find new ways to explore stories.
I feel like they do it really well.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, when I compare The Bill, prison, crime, soap opera, in comparison to one of my favourites in like Luther, like, I think Luther goes further into like the psyche of human beings, right? So like, for example, with Luther, he is a talented crime detective, one of the best in London, who's also dealing with his own personal issues in terms of his marriage with his wife, relatable. But he also deals with his sort of his obsession with his job, which completely clashes with his marriage, which is why his marriage fails. And then the competition between his love for his job and his love for Zoe, his wife, who unfortunately passes. Shout out to Zoe. Well, Ian was a madman, by the way. Do you remember that?
That's such a crazy shout out. Sorry.
Yeah, shout out to Zoe.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Zoe, man. Really, she kept my guy going, man. Yeah. But the series does a very good job of just diving into the psyche of DCI John Luther, who is one of the best detectives, but he's also a very flawed character, right? He's not a good man, I would say.
At all.
He's not a good man. He will bend the rules and he will sort of break the sort of the moral code of his job at times to get the job done. He treads the line very thinly, so you can't necessarily say he's definitely breaking the law in some of the things he does, but he treads the line in between sort of being a good police officer or being a very good police officer and also doing things to get the job done, which somewhat relatable in terms of sometimes we do little things to make sure we can, you know, get the job done, essentially. And also it delves into the psyche of the criminals and the people that he's trying to catch, and the relationship that he has with those is very, very interesting. So, for example, what's her name? Ginger Girl and Luther. Let me get my Googles. Sorry.
Thank you for laughing.
That was good. Alice Morgan.
Alice.
You did? I didn't hear.
He said Basola. I was like,
oh, okay. Like his relationship with Alice Morgan, his relationship with Ian, his relationship with, as the season goes on, it gets a bit darker and grittier.
That one episode, the dinner party episode.
You've brought that up before.
Guys, it's so scary. I'm not even joking. That shit was terrifying. I watched it. I was home alone. My mum went to work, yeah? And I was like, I'm watching this. I'm not even meant to be watching this kind of TV, yeah? And I was literally sweating.
How old were you when you watched the episode?
Maybe 12.
Okay.
And oh my god. Like, yeah, okay.
I was like, this is so scary. Like,
I need to rewatch Luther.
I had to watch it.
I've rewatched it a few times. You
have
know?
You? Yeah, okay, yeah, I need to rewatch it. I did love it though.
But like, still, that episode is still terrifying. That and the cab episode. The cab episode is also kind of scary.
The cab?
Yeah, it taught us like
the white guy with a wife.
Oh, that was scary. I do actually remember.
She had the black man, right?
No, it was the guy that's killing the cab driver that's killing all the girls.
Yeah, that was frightening.
He had a wife.
I don't actually remember the whole premise.
He had a wife and she was with a black man, or ended up cheating on him with a black man. And that you could kind of see where they were playing on that sort of aspect of it. Okay. I remember what you're talking about, because he's just a nutter and he's driving around.
Yeah, he was that was scary.
Decorating their bodies with everything that was in their bags.
Yeah, that was scary.
I said, if I'm ever going to get into
it. Trust me,
that's what we real things are.
Yeah. You would love Luther.
You haven't watched Luther?
This is what I didn't want to say, because I knew you'd actually be like that. That's what you're talking about. I was looking in your eyes. I don't know what you're talking about, nigga.
Oh my god, you should watch it. It's also not that it's not that long.
It's like 6 episodes a season.
Yeah, it's not that long at all.
This is so shocking. I'm not so much about you.
I know. I've been meaning to watch it for a while.
There's just certain shows that I've just seen
really
watch.
Good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
When I tell people that I watched Moonlight for the first time last week, the shock is insane.
Did you like it though?
Love
I was gonna say that's your kind of film.
Yeah.
I don't think I know you as well as I thought I did.
Sorry.
That's okay. We'll know each other more.
Yeah. One thing I think Luther does well, it places the characters that he cares about always in precarious situations. So like he's the guy that essentially his sidekick. I forgot the guy character's name. In season 3, I think it is. He ends up getting spoilers. Won't say it. Something happens to him in season 3. Obviously, we have Zoe. Mm. We have just numerous characters.
Even Alice as well, because I think he wants to look after her. Also wants
I think he sees a lot of similarities.
Yeah,
between, the mirror effect.
She's a psycho, but I love her.
They're both psychos. I think that's where the lure comes into things, right, with them. 100%. And also just like, even like the mundane nature of the way he dresses, the mundane nature of his apartment and his place, all speaks to who he is as a person in his current time, because of the fact, obviously, he's lost Zoe and he's just sort of so focused on the job. It's a great series, man. It's really, really good. Especially the first 3 seasons. It's the best bit of television for me. Season 4 or 5 fall off for me personally. Don't love the film. The film's okay.
I didn't watch it at all.
because I knew it wouldn't be
good.
Yeah. And I was like, it's all right.
I wanted to believe in him. I really wanted to. I was like, this is meant to be like 10 years in the making. Surely you could have done it.
That's definitely his defining role for me, though. Like, ooh.
That was also, wasn't it Netflix again?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. See what I mean? I just thought, and I was like,
You know what? You make a point, because that BBC have that sort of gritty.
I know it's PTSD more than anything else.
Yeah. You was gonna say something.
Because you stopped when you said that was his defining role.
I was gonna say, obviously, Stringer Bell.
But I do think that was his defining role.
Well, Lufa.
I still feel like I love Stringer, and of course the reason I love him is because of Stringer, but I do think you still just associate him with
Lufa.
Maybe it's just over here.
I was going to say, I reckon
the minute he steps over, they're like, string a bell. I can guarantee they do that. But over here, it was like, Lufa, Lufa, Lufa.
Mm. I don't think people here, unless you're like a film and TV head, like, I don't think The Wire is a show that's it's universally loved in a sense of it's prestigious. Mm. But I don't think it's universally loved in terms of if you spoke to 10 people down the road, 8 of them would have watched The Wire. I can't see it.
I agree with you. Yeah. I still think it's very American-centric. And it came out before the times that we were watching American TV like that, and that type of American TV.
Yeah, I think it was the timing thing. It wasn't, HBO shows weren't like readily available.
If you asked them if they watched The Sopranos, I think they would say yeah.
I don't think they would.
I think they might have said they've heard of it. They know it's good. I don't think.
Mm. I think they know what it is. I think if you watch The Wire, I think they know.
What do you think a series that if you spoke to someone that you'd probably Game of Thrones, wouldn't it?
I think it is Game of Thrones. That's still us, no? Mm.
It'll be Friends. Friends will be the number one.
Yeah, but that's a. Does that count?
That's just universe. Yeah.
No, does it count? I think that's unfair to say. But this is not a sitcom. What is it called? Is it a sitcom?
It's a sitcom. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't think they count.
Okay, fair.
Because I guess because even what's the other white one? Not Michael in the Middle, the other one. I'm thinking of, what is his name? And it's like, guys. So
stressful. Do you want to come back to it?
Yeah, no, I need to Google it now. I was going to come
up. Just before we sort of, last couple of minutes before we wrap up, The Capture also. And I think the BBC just do this. Oh, we can carry on if we need to. But yeah, just, we'll carry on, fine. When we're ready to end.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun. When we're ready to end, we'll end. Sorry, my bad.
So sad.
Yeah, it was.
The last couple of
minutes. Sorry. Poor hosting for me. I'm sorry. The Capture, I think, is one of the best BBC shows in recent times. Everyone here seen The Capture?
Yeah.
I'll leave the floor. You haven't seen it?
I said, bring me The Capture.
You have seen it, though?
I have seen it. I don't know.
Have you just Googled white sitcoms?
Come
on,
guys.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's really funny.
Good series, by the way.
Full House.
Oh, Full House. That's absolutely not what I thought you would.
Yeah.
That came on, they used to do reruns of it on...
Full House is the one with Mary-Kate and Ashley, right?
Not sure.
Like, they're the kids.
Yeah. I don't think that's one that people...
What's the one you guys have said?
Friends. Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's it. I think that might be it.
It's a great series.
Yeah, that's a very popular series.
Used to come in the morning.
I actually haven't watched it. What was it on?
Was it Channel 4?
Yeah. That and Frasier.
Frasier.
Never got into Frasier.
Yes, it was. Because it came on before Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. It was always on.
Guys, we can move on now. Sorry.
The Capture.
Yeah.
Manny.
Great TV. First two seasons. I think I prefer season 2 over 1, but I get if you prefer...
So many people say they prefer season 1.
I prefer season 2.
Which one did I prefer?
Did you prefer the army guy or the black guy?
Season 2 felt like it was like wrapping it up, so it was nice, like the story developed. But season 1, I did like season 1.
I think they're both really good. I'm fine if we don't get a season 3, by the way.
I actually do want it. I'm okay if I don't. I can't sleep at night, but I want it. I do.
Fun fact, it was the most requested new show on BBC iPlayer in 2019 with over 20 million requests for season 1. I don't know what request means, but it seems like something important. Yeah. The Capture is a British mystery TV series starring Holiday Granger. She's really good.
Actually. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, she was really
She's
good.
Really good. And Callum Turner, who played...
The army guy, right?
Yeah, he was so good.
No, really good. It followed a man acquitted of a war crime in Afghanistan. Lance Corporal Sean Emery finds himself accused of kidnapping his barrister, murdering his barrister, Hannah Roberts, backed up by CCTV evidence. Why did you guys like this series?
Just something different. I think I liked it because I just don't think there's anything
like it at the time.
Or
since.
Since, even.
I've seen a lot more sort of tech and playing with tech in terms of CCTV footage and deep fakes. I've seen a lot more of that recently, which I think speaks to like the sort of AI era that we're in as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Like what?
You've put me on the spot. I'd get back to you.
Okay, cool.
So I'll get back to you.
I think the reason I liked it, there is something about a regular show that talks about tech in without it being too shiny.
Yeah, too convoluted.
It didn't feel, there was no moments when it was like, and we hacked into the mainframe. There was none of that. It was just, you know what I mean? Like it was.
That's more American, to be fair. Yeah.
Like, I had a little Disney shit. Like it didn't feel like that. It just felt like it could be a regular show that deals with that. And I enjoyed it so much. Acting was really good.
I hated the
army guy.
Yeah, same.
Because I liked him a lot at first, then I hated him. Even when I realised that he didn't do it, I still hated him.
He was a bit of a piece of shit.
Yeah. I had a lot of emotion towards him. That's was good.
But that's, yeah,
I can't remember the scenes particularly, but I know he had like anger issues.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he was racist. Definitely I'm pretty sure racist. He was.
He shot that guy for no reason.
Like, oh yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
He's a criminal. Yeah, because I remember watching the show, I was like, bro, this guy's actually a piece of shit. But I like that in shows where I don't need to like a character.
I think that means the show's really good when you have so much emotion towards a character.
Yeah.
Like when you look back and you're like, I hated that person, and you're like, wow, this moved me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was written really well. Even back to what you're saying, that we don't need, when a show is based on tech, we don't need it to be convoluted or have all this jargon, mm-hmm. because the focus is mainly on the characters and how they mm-hmm. deal around said technology. What I used to love Black Mirror so much.
It's
focused on the character specifically and how they deal with things rather than the jargon that you put within the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really like the writing in it.
And it's also quite like daunting the way that prospect of sort of deepfake tech can impact the real world at any point, mm-hmm. like where you could be put in a situation where CCTV frames you for doing something you might not have done or used to manipulate, which season 2 does really well.
Yeah.
Where it dives into like the political intrigue of deep fake tech and the way that it can impact society, which is why I like season 2, because it felt a lot more impactful on society today. What could be impactful on society?
Yeah, it was a bit more like.
Do you know what I loved about season 1 was that the fact that they're all coming together to try and clear everyone's name. Yeah, for like the crimes they've been accused of, but all of these people are people you don't want to defend.
There was
like a terrorist in there. They might have not done that particular crime, but they've done loads of other things.
I think
it made you kind of question, like, do we just lock them up because they're bad people, or do you lock them up because
they still work?
I think it was like watching. I was like, yo, I'm hooked.
Yeah, because that's the same thing with Sean. Like, bro, then you should have been in jail, just not for the crime that you've been accused of. Yeah,
I completely agree. I think season 2 did, obviously, Papa say.
Oh, my.
So good.
Killy.
So good.
Why? Go on, talk.
Great actor. I saw him, obviously, he's on I May Destroy You. I saw him in theater at some point in the last year in The Effect. Great, great actor. He can perform.
He's super talented.
He's in a short film called Femme.
Oh, yeah, he was in the original film.
Yeah, the original film.
He was also in Gangs of London, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Gangs of London were so intense.
He was the best part
of Gangs of London, because I actually think that show was crap. But. You know, that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's crazy you're saying that.
But he
pretty
was
gruesome,
he was great.
Why did you like season 2 though, more than 1?
Because he's got a black guy in it.
Do you know what? Fair enough.
Do you know? I think I enjoyed because there was more of, without sounding too cliche, but it's more like a chest plate in season 2. Mm. There was like more moving parts in terms of trying to get one over of each other, because it wasn't just the. Figure out who was doing the fake deepfakes.
Yeah.
It was also the whole interaction between her and my guy, the American.
I can't
remember. And even he struggled with
Frank,
and his struggle with his colleague when she faked.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
When she faked his diagnosis, making him like reflect on life and giving up control, like. It just felt like there's a lot more happening within it, which I appreciated. But again, I like both seasons like fairly close, similar.
Yeah, and it also had some messaging, obviously, like with the sort of political stuff in terms of like the issues with China and the way tech was used to sort of cause strife between the different nations. Very interesting, man. I like season 2. I think that's why I liked season 2. Yeah.
And I think Papa was the biggest difference for me as well.
Yeah, he was.
Call him
Papa.
Papa. Oh, get out, bro. Put it away.
Well done. Good stuff from you. Has anyone here seen The Bodyguard or Bodyguard?
No.
Yeah, so good.
You ain't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm so surprised you like it.
I'm
so interested by you.
Really? Why?
What you haven't watched is so interesting.
You like the series.
That's another short one as well. Just watch it. It's on Netflix. Or iPlay.
I've got a long list of things to watch.
It's only one season.
Yeah.
Okay, that's calm.
It's that's so calm. Good.
Okay, I can binge that one.
Why did you like it, Ori, from what you can remember?
So
Richard Madsen's the lead, right?
Yeah.
I bet you.
Aside from that, so good. Like his acting was like I felt. You know when you're watching something and again you're like, am I meant to like you? I'm not really sure we're going with this. Like, not sure, but acting so good. Is it Keely Hawes?
Yes.
Is that name?
Yeah, Keely Hawes.
The one that's the, yeah. She's just talented, isn't she? But
she was also in that film that came out recently, right? Scoop on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. She's really talented. And again, I feel like it was just the kind of, it's a BBC drama. Mm. I feel like it had the right balance between, it's still British, it's still like very much rooted in like British politics and British TV writing, but it had kind of like the capture, to be fair, it had that element of like the espionage element that's a little bit like Americanized.
I know what you mean, obviously it happens, but
like it feels a little bit Americanized. Same way with like the capture, the like tech element feels a bit, you know, like in Scandal where like B613 are like this underground thing. Yeah. Like it feels a bit Americanized, so you get the drama from that, but it's still like fundamentally British. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what made me like The Bodyguard. Do you know what I mean?
Sold it well.
Yeah.
And you got to watch it.
I will.
Okay.
And you brought up Scandal, which just made me happy.
Yeah. I know. Any opportunity.
Interestingly, The Bodyguard was also created by Jed Mercurio, who also created Line of Duty.
What a track record. God, if I had recreated those shows, everyone would fucking know.
Yeah,
I'd be insufferable.
Yeah. I would actually walk into like anywhere. By the way,
I'm in this.
And I've got a script for you.
By the way, I'm the one that wrote.
Have you guys read scripts? Like just random scripts of TV shows that you liked?
Sometimes it pops up on my feeds and stuff. Yeah.
I've done it for films, not really for TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah, Line of Duty, by the way.
Yeah, great.
You're ridiculous. The guy's looking at him right now.
Guys is in his bag. Go on, tell us about Line of Duty.
Look at where he sat. You made me sick. You made me sick.
Why? You're fucking super comfy here.
No, he sat like he's one of the coffers. Go on then.
I love that series, man. It dives into sort of corruption within the police force. Three charismatic leads in. I have to get my fucking...
Vicky McClure.
Line of Duty. Bear with me.
And then everyone else.
The main guy, current prisoner.
Oh, Ted Hastings, what a character.
No, sorry, not Ted, the younger main guy.
Ah, I know you're talking about. So we've got Martin Compston, who plays Steve Arnott.
Yeah, him. And he's Scottish in real life. It froze me because he's so like London in the show.
Vicky McClure, who you mentioned, she loves a good crime drama.
Yeah, she loves a good police drama.
I don't even think she's been typecast. I think she's going out of her way to.
I think, absolutely, if I know
I can do it and I need to make money. Like,
I think now it's
intentional.
At first I was like, being a bit typecast, but now it's like, no, she's actually only asked for scripts.
Yeah, 100%.
And Adrian Dunbar, who plays Ted Hastings, unbelievable. He's so good. Yeah. Like some of his those one-liners. It became the highest rated series on BBC Two in 10 years, and it was then promoted to BBC One. And you think you can actually, if you actually watch from season one to season like maybe 3-4, you can see where it went from BBC Two.
Oh, yeah, the
BBC
budget
one.
Went up.
You see the production value rose up. But I like the sort of gritty versions of those sort of like early seasons.
But do you think because it's never, the production value going up is never.
Doesn't take away, right?
Yeah, it's never too much. It's never too shiny.
Yeah, we're still BBC.
I think actors are still just getting paid a bit more. I don't think, and they're cleaning stuff. I don't think it's that.
Better cameras.
The writing is still as
Yeah.
That's what I like. The writers are always pretty much the same. There's one scene, in Line of Duty that I think is one of my favourite scenes ever. I think it's one of the final episodes when everyone's like getting put away for the crimes they've done, and then there's the one boy gets away.
So he can be a fed again.
And I was like, yes.
That's good writing.
I was like, this is so good because they make sure that it's only him that gets away.
Yeah.
And then he's in police academy, and I'm like, the cycle continues.
Yeah.
So it was so good.
The season I loved was what's his name? Stephen Graham. Is that his name? The Scouse guy. I can't remember his name.
Which season? Let's have a look for you.
What happens in that season?
He's like undercover, but he gets a bit too.
Oh, he gets a bit too into the scouts. Season five. Stephen Graham's so good. He's an actor.
What else have I seen him in? Because as soon as I saw his face, yeah, Landy's like,
Who is it? I don't know what I've seen him in before. I've seen him in Boiling Point since. He's really, really good in that.
That's a film that was turned into a series.
Really, really good.
He's in This Is England. He's in Bodies.
Yeah, This Is England. Yeah, This Is England is a good. I need to rewatch that. That was a good.
He's in Snatch. Help Time.
He's so Help with Jodie
Comer. Oh, Jodie Comer's. She's
so, so talented.
That's one of my favorite films.
Oh, she's good.
She's good.
Yeah, she's good. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that, but she. I watched it recently. You know what I'm talking about, right? Killing.
Yeah.
I only started it recently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Killing Eve.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've only watched the first season.
Yeah, we spoke. But we'll speak about Killing Eve maybe quickly. But Line of Duty, yeah. What's your favorite season? You saying season five, right?
Whatever that's, I think that's my favorite season.
I've got season three, you know.
I don't know. I haven't bought it down.
When Doc Cotton, LOL, breaks free.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And he gets chased.
I really like that season. Yeah.
Good
season.
And he sends the text under the.
Yes, good season, good season.
And then you see how bent everyone is because the guy's
like, and everyone's just like,
What I liked is the way. Good for me. I like the way they linked. So each season had like an underlying layer or storyline or narrative that weaved into the next to sort of add to this conspiracy theory. But then they also introduced a new sort of corrupt police officer in each season. And sometimes they weren't corrupt intentionally. Coerced or forced. Mm-hmm. Or there was a situation where something happened and they had to sort of cover it up and then they become a corrupt officer. And I think the series did a very good job of sort of interlinking those different officers. So like I think Rosalind, I can't remember the actress's name. She's quite controversial. But she was Rosalind in season four, the black woman. And she kills someone because she's already corrupt. She kills like one of her fellow officers in season four. Each season for me was just so well written up until maybe like season five. But you said you love season five.
I think Stephen Graham is just so good.
He's
just so good.
Yeah,
and like, I just really believed him. I always believe him. You know, like, he's just really good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the last thing I like about the series is that it understood its characters and how to write them. So they understood by like season one, essentially, Ted Hastings, we have to give this guy one-liners. Mm. He has to say bent coppers or whatever other lines were. And I think when a series has sort of quotables that can stand the test of time, you know you've got a good show there.
The same as The Catcher.
What's the quotable from The Catcher, though?
Bring me The Catcher.
Okay. Mm.
I feel like if someone said to you, like, bring me The Capture, you know exactly whatever.
You know what else I really like about Line of Duty? I really like when shows know how to work a male and female friendship.
And
Vicky McClure and Steve, I'm mixing up characters and actors' names, but you know what I mean? No. Like, their friendship was just, they are friends and colleagues. Yeah. That's it. And that is a thing in real life.
It had aspects of like jealousy and envy because she was always getting like the sort of promotions or the credit.
Yeah, and he wanted very one. Envious. Then but it was still like, cool. They're just friends. Like, don't expect anything from...
I love when they don't make it romantic like that.
That was really... They were written well. Yeah, like, their friendship was written well.
Yeah.
Killing Eve. New to me. Very new to me.
I'm so jealous of you.
But I heard the last two seasons are...
Forget. Watching season one, I might go rewatch it. I wish I could rewatch it with like brand new eyes.
Same.
Why so?
It was one of my favorite shows to watch. I'm always gonna be intrigued or like just taken in when the main characters are women. I'm gonna hold
myself.
I see what I am as a person.
Villanelle.
She's just so like, because you don't hear much. She doesn't say much for the first season.
Yeah.
She doesn't speak.
She's so good.
And then when she speaks, she's got an accent, and you're like, oh.
Russian, and it's like, where did this come from, Jodie?
Do you know what I mean? And Jodie Comer being like a Northerner is fantastic because she had London accents, like it's brilliant. Like, it's, have you heard
She's
it?
All her accents, so like,
but
all
the London accent froze me off because I thought that was her actual accent. Then I heard
she's Liverpudlian.
She's Scouse,
Scouse. She's not like,
she's
Scouse.
Like proper Scouse.
How she gets that Russian accent is insane.
Baby girl.
She's so talented.
Do you know what I mean?
So talented.
And I think her just like, watching her fall in love with, I keep forgetting my girl's name. But what's her
Sandra
name? Sandra Oh, yeah, because she's in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
I think she's had like a lifelong deal with that series.
Yeah, no, but you do.
I also had never seen her in anything. Well, she was in Princess Diaries, but other than that, and then Grey's Anatomy.
She had, I know what you mean.
Killing Eve was the next, the only like thing I'd see. So, and it was
her
in Killing Eve is obviously so far away from Christina Yang in Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. I was like, oh, girl, she did something different here. Like,
she made a really interesting comment about, I guess isn't what you expect from British shows, but she was like being in Shondaland for most of her life, yeah, and then coming over to the UK.
No, because it's the production company is actually called Shondaland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that would have been a dope like made up name if it was.
Yeah, no, okay, give me credit for that. being in Shondaland for most of her life and then coming over to the UK and still going back to Shondaland every now and again for things, is seeing that she was the only person of colour on set. And she's like
in British shows,
yeah. And it was so interesting because she's like, I'm still like technically white, but I'm the only person of color on set right now, and it's insane. And that was like a real thing. It's just she couldn't really wrap her head around it because Shondaland,
yeah, so different to because she was like Shondaland production.
She's notoriously known for employing black. She calls herself colorblind because like I can't tell they were black. They were just really good at their job. So yeah, just a side note, but that's really interesting. That like, not a shock though. I'm more surprised.
No, I like Killian Eve. I like the first season. Villanelle, fascinating character.
Yeah.
Like the relationship between her and Eve, slowly but surely, actually, you buy into it. I bought into it.
Yeah.
I actually thought they were going to, you know, the last episode of the first season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, before.
They were going to consummate their friendship.
Yeah.
And then Eve completely flips the scripts and goes crazy. But yeah, just the dealing with like sort of obsession and the way it interlinks with Eve trying to do a job, but there's an obsession there. It goes beyond just the job and the fascination with the person.
Yeah.
I think the series did a good job of that.
But. Yeah. Shout out to Phoebe Waller-Bridge for being a producer and writing the first season.
Oh, did she write the first season?
Yeah. Do you know what?
God, what a woman. She's really I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Think about what I said about Fleabag. She's really her.
Wow.
She's a writer, bro.
I did not know that. Okay.
Manny, do you have anything for us?
As in TV shows? Oh, you put me right on the spot, bro. I kind of
No stress.
No. Give me a moment to think about it.
No worries, but so like, all right, anything you want to discuss? It's a free floor, shall I say?
Give me 2 seconds. I've just
British TV shows.
British TV.
Oh, Manny, you can speak about Doctor Who because that's been your bag at some point, no?
It was, but I feel like okay. So what I mentioned before.
For the new one?
I haven't watched it in years. I'll give a watch because of my guy in it. But I think I mentioned before, I just feel like Doctor Who has the greatest concept for a TV show because you can turn it into any genre and put it anytime you want and it still makes sense. Like, I watched the first 3 seasons and the version with my guy. That's what I want to talk about before. What's the actor? The really not Matt Owens. What's the other actor in Doctor Who?
David Tennant.
You watch Inside Man?
With Denzel.
Oh, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was talking about the TV show with David Tennant. But yeah, anyways, Doctor Who with David Tennant is one of my favourites. Well, I think it's like 3 seasons. One of my favourite pieces of TV show that I watched. There's a scene, I don't know, have you guys watched Doctor Who?
I only watched a few David Tennant episodes because everyone
Have you seen the one with the...
The angel one, I couldn't...
That was
sleep.
Such a good episode.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
And when I see those kind of statues, I like, guys.
There was so much suspense in that episode. It's like, it's one of my favourite like horror episodes from a Doctor Who show or episode, should I say. I don't really have much to say about Doctor Who per se because I'm not.
Are you a Peaky Blinders guy though?
Oh yeah, I love Peaky Blinders.
Good show.
Killian Murphy.
Good show.
What actor?
Oh my god, you haven't watched it? No.
Yeah. Watch it before the film comes out.
Yeah, watch it.
Good show.
It's so well written. You get the characters arc that goes throughout. Arthur, I can't remember the name of the brother's name. Arthur Shelby. I know everyone loves off Killian Murphy. I do too, but I feel like Arthur, he was my guy in the show.
He was so good.
He had so much range from the season because the arc that he goes through, from the very first episode. So if you guys haven't watched Peaky Blinders, Killian Murphy's character Shelby, no, what's his first name?
Thomas Shelby.
Thomas Shelby. I think he recently came back from World War One.
Yeah.
He recently came back from the war, and his brother has a business of were they selling drugs at this point? So basically, it's a crime family.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially, but the younger brother, but the middle brother ends up taking over the crime family, while the older brother essentially becomes the side character in it. But just talking about Arthur Shelby, the oldest brother, the insecurity that he had as being the oldest brother, but not being the one in charge, the relationship that he had with his father, in terms of like all the other brothers can say like our dad's a piece of shit, but you're the only one that clings on to him for good reason. The fact that he also had to battle with his religious belief, the issues that he had with his wife and the constant back and forth they had, the amount of rage that he had to go through throughout every single season was amazing to me.
It's more impressive to you than what Killian had to do.
Yes, it was, and what Killian did was amazing. He carried that show. He's the lead and he done great. But what Matt, your name?
Sorry.
But yeah, because well, I can't keep saying
Arthur. Cool.
But yeah, Arthur Shelby.
Arthur Shelby, as in the actor, Paul Anderson.
Paul Anderson, thank you. What Paul Anderson had to do throughout those seasons of Peaky Blinders was absolutely immense to me. And it's one of my favourite performances as an actor through a TV show.
Also, stacked cast when you think about like Helen McCrory. Yeah.
Helen McCrory, she passed away. Yeah, when she passed away, I was actually sad like I knew her, because she was so good in Peaky Blinders. Like, it's actually insane. Yeah. She had a proper grip on like the what's the type matriarch.
Yeah.
Not like the typical like, oh, mummy for everyone kind of vibe. Like, it wasn't that. It was very much like she is the head bitch in charge. Like, she is the real top person. Yeah. Irrespective of the fact that the guys are running crime. Irrespective of the fact that the guys are doing...
He would always revert
to
her for counsel, right?
Yeah, 100%. She was so, so good. And then they had, like, bare people across the season. Yeah.
Tom Hardy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Tom Hardy was so good.
They even had...
Put it away.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
I want to be honest, yeah. This is, like... Give me 20 seconds to be a tiny bit horny, yeah? When you talk about peak-level white men, yeah... Tom Hardy is the tallest glass of Gravendale that I've ever seen in my life. That is the freshest milk on the planet.
Can I urge
drink,
you?
I would not sort of drink.
Can I urge you, when you go to Venom, please go with somebody. Don't go on your own.
No.
Don't watch that film alone.
Akis, wow.
You're going to be DJing that day.
I need to see who's in the cinema. I've got a middle seat by myself.
She's going to go to the 10 a.m.
So
there's no one there.
For everyone's sake.
Goodness gracious me.
Anyways, Peaky Blinders also has Benjamin and
Zephaniah. Yeah.
Aidan Gillen.
Yeah.
Really good.
Aidan
Gillen.
He's a Game of Thrones with The Wire. It's easy to forget he's in The Wire as well. Aidan Gillen.
Oh, yeah. Littlefinger.
Yeah.
He knows how to pick a show.
Oh, he's, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
He knows how to pick a show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Peaky Blinders.
I really like the
amazing.
Other. Is it Joe Cole? The other brother, the younger brother.
Yeah, Joe Cole.
Because he was in
He's in Gangs of London as well.
Yeah, he's in Black Mirror as well.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. He's black. I think he left. Was he left because of Black Mirror? No, he left because of something else.
Okay.
But yeah, he's in Black Mirror. He's in something else he had to leave Peaky Blinders for.
Okay. Let's have a look what he's been in recently.
Oh, really? They wrote him out well.
That's what they wrote him out because he couldn't do both.
Ah.
Yeah. And then we had the whole mafia storyline on the back of it.
He started off in The Bill.
Yeah. Oh, really? I did not know that.
The Bill, Holby City, Skins, Peaky Blinders, Black Mirror, Gangs of London. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people can pick a good
because he's quite young.
He is.
How old is he? I don't think he's old.
Maybe early 30s.
He was born, doesn't really say, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say? Yeah. Oh, wait, 98 or 99?
98 or 99?
1989 or
1989.
Oh, 89. Still young, though.
1988 or 1989, sorry.
Still relatively young.
Crazy. Yeah, early 30s.
Yeah.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, he's really good.
Oh, Black Mirror. What?
What are you going to say?
Let's
talk about
Black Mirror.
The Brit stage.
Yeah.
Just speak.
Okay. Black Mirror was one of my favorite TV shows like of all time. The first three seasons were just so great, so British and so gritty. Mm-hmm. When they made it more American,
when they Netflixed it,
I saw issues with quite a lot of things.
This seems like a prominent issue.
I thought you were gonna say something.
Netflix, by the way,
no,
love to work.
Like, it would have been, it literally would have been my top one series of all time if it wasn't for what Netflix.
What's your favorite episode of Black Mirror?
White Christmas.
You've got such great taste.
Thank you, my guy. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Do you know what episode was terrifying?
Shut Up and Dance.
No, Playtest.
Oh yeah.
Episodes I haven't rewatched.
Yeah.
Shut Up and Dance I rewatched.
I've watched
at least three times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Constantly. Keep going. Yeah, and I love you can watch any episode you like.
Yeah, I like that. It's like an anthology rather than.
But, Shut Up and Dance. Yeah.
Could you? Oh, I love that episode.
Like, through all he was doing was bashing, and I was like,
yeah.
I was like, Don't you dare do that.
I was rooting for you.
He's a sicko.
Kenny, there were kids.
I was like, no way.
Yeah. Do you guys think you could name the top five episodes from Black Mirror?
Top five as in
from
like,
IMDb.
White Christmas?
No, I don't think it's White Christmas.
You guys have to agree on this.
Okay.
White Christmas, you're dope. Sunshine Apparel.
Wait. Have you agreed it's White Christmas is number one?
Oh, it's number one.
The order.
Yeah, I've gone from five to one.
Okay. I'm saying, okay.
I don't know about the order. Let's just agree at five and then we can put them in.
I think White Christmas will be in top five.
Okay.
Sanjana Perro 100% will be in top
five. Did you enjoy that?
I liked it.
I think people talk about it a lot.
I liked it. I don't love it.
It's with Google and Barta Raw, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
I think that would definitely be in top five. It's not one of my favorites.
But I know what you mean. There's buzz around it. Like, people talk about it.
I would have said the Fuck and the Pig one.
I think people.
Do you know National
Anthem?
No, because it's National Anthem?
Yeah, that's National Anthem.
Do you know, obviously, because it's based on a true story, yeah? But, like, I don't know if I can say this. I'm going to say it anyway, I don't care. Some boy I went to school with, I'm not calling my friend because I don't really know him that well. His dad is one of the writers on it. And he went to school with David Cameron.
David Cameron, yeah.
So it's not actually just that. They said it was based loosely on a true story, but it was
actually,
it's
based on David Cameron.
Like, it's actually, like, I'm writing from memory.
And that was the first thing he wrote, and then he was on some other episodes, but yeah.
Yeah, because he did it as an initiation in college.
And all in the same sorority, whatever it's called.
I don't think National Anthem will be.
But I would, because of what it did, because the story came out at the same time as that.
Yeah, there was mad buzz around it. Okay. Like, people that hadn't even watched Black Mirror were watching that episode. Yeah.
So, okay.
You've got, how many you got so far?
Three. National Anthem, Sunshine Apparel, and White Christmas.
White Christmas.
I would have said the one with Letitia Wright,
Black Museum.
Just because it ties everything together.
Okay.
Because it's the only episode of Black Mirror where you kind of need to watch every girl, so you might want to.
Describe the episode. I'll remember the name.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like,
I'll throw some names at you if you want. Hated in the Nation.
That was the first Black Mirror episode for, like, this is a film. This is an actual film rather than an episode.
Nosedive.
Oh my gosh, White Bear.
White Bear. I love White Bear. That's in my top three.
Because White Bear.
It's not in your top three.
No, it is my top three. It is in your top three.
Because White Bear, it was one of those where you.
Your entire history of you will be in top five.
Oh my gosh, it
will. Entire history of you will be in the top five.
Concept wise, that's a fucking insane.
So the first season is Entire History of You, Be Right Back, and National Anthem.
This nigga's sick.
That's the first season. I think Entire History will be there.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
The second
season.
But
Be Right Back, don't you think that would be there as well?
No, I like Be Right Back a lot.
Hang the DJ, because everyone liked that.
I love Hang the DJ, but.
It was the most.
This is a difficult question.
That's what I'm trying to think, because I'm trying to think of what people would go on to IMDb and actually.
I personally think Entire History of You.
Okay.
White Christmas. Mm-hmm. Sunshine Apparel. What else did we mention?
I said Black
National
Museum,
Anthem, Hang the DJ.
I think those three are definitely there. I believe those three are definitely there.
Okay.
So you need two.
And then we said
National
Anthem, White Bear, Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
What's we said?
We said Black Museum.
Black Museum.
Tied it together, but I don't think people enjoyed it as much as.
Yeah, I don't know if people are critically thinking.
Yeah.
Hello.
Do you know what I mean? Like.
Can we lock in those three first?
Yeah. Wait, three?
Entire History of You.
Uh-huh.
Sanjana Perro.
Sanjana Perro, yep. White Christmas.
You've got three out of three so far.
Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew it. It's two more.
I really want to say White Bear.
But I hear it. But
I think it's just a personal favorite.
No, listen. It's in my top three.
Yeah, I think it's more
I'm trying to think of what people, you know.
Yeah.
Like, did we say National Anthem?
Was that we didn't say it was top three.
I'm more comfortable doing National Anthem than White Bear.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay, National Anthem. I feel like the buzz around the real story.
I'll help you out. National Anthem's not there.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so people
do have this. We've said White Bear, Hang the DJ, and...
Oh, by the way, White Bear is not in the top.
No, White Bear's said. Oh, sorry, where we left. So Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
And
Hang the DJ's in there, definitely. I feel like it is.
Letitia Wright's.
Letitia Black Museum.
Yeah.
Black Museum.
Okay, before we do that, let's think something.
I feel like Hang the DJ's 100% there.
There's... What other episodes are there? That's really good.
We got Shut Up and Drive.
Shut Up and Dance. Nosedive. USS Callister.
Great episode.
That was a really good episode.
Okay. That would be top five.
People really enjoyed that. People talk about that, you know.
I didn't really talk about it.
I didn't enjoy it that much.
What are your three locked in?
Tell his review. Sanjana Perro.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make a decision, lads.
Okay, let's just do it. I want to say Hang the DJ.
Same.
Okay, we've got Andy just won.
But also part of me thinks 50 million credits, people really enjoyed it. People talk about it like a lot.
I'm going to tell you
And I don't enjoy it.
I'm going to tell you it's not.
It's not.
What, Hang the DJ? Oh, 50 million credits.
Yeah. Hang the DJ?
Hang DJ.
I think Hang the DJ.
Okay. Yours is Callister. I'm not angry at.
I'm not angry at that either.
That from that season as well.
But I feel like the earlier seasons will be rated more highly than the most recent ones.
Did you say Shut Up and Dance?
But then I'm like, have the numbers not grown as it's gone on?
Yeah, but because has
more people. True.
I want to say Shut Up and Dance, but do people love Shut Up and Dance like that?
Yeah, because.
They do. People talk about
it. Look at the way we feel about it, yeah.
Yeah.
And just that picture. I remember people post that picture on Twitter, and they're like, "Bro, we were rooting for you." Like literally, just that picture. Like, we were rooting for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, how dare you do that to us? Mm. I feel abused as well. So get. So.
Hang the DJ, Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah. Go on.
Go on.
All right. So I'm gonna give you the five, and then you can place them. Yeah.
Okay.
So fifth is The Entire History of You.
Fourth. Wait. Are you giving us how it's placed?
I'm just giving you five.
Okay.
Then you can place them. So Entire History of You, Black Museum, Sandra Napero, Hang the DJ, White Christmas, put them in order.
Okay.
I should.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
It just it ties it together. It makes you feel like you really watched the.
I think White Christmas will be first.
Okay. Is that locked?
I'm okay with that.
We've got White Christmas, Sandra Napero,
Hang the DJ.
Black Museum.
Entire History of You.
Entire History of You. Okay.
Entire History of You might be number one.
I think Hang the DJ will be last out of those five.
Yeah. I think it might be as well.
Even
I'm a timer, you've got a minute to lock it in.
Okay. Oh my god, right. Okay.
Number five.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Number four.
I want to say Black Museum.
Black Museum? I think it's number three.
Same. I think it's higher.
I think it's
now.
Okay.
So what would you have fourth?
But that's the problem. I don't know what fourth is.
What have we got? We've got Sandra Napero.
Sandra Napero
fourth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we've got Black Museum.
Okay.
Entire History of You.
White Christmas.
I'm happy with that.
So yeah.
Can you lock in the five for me?
Okay, so
number one, White Chris. Oh no, go on. Number five, Hang the DJ. Yeah. Said. Number four, Sandra Napero. Yeah. Number three, Black Museum. Number two,
Entire History of You.
Number one,
White Bear.
White Christmas.
So number five, The Entire History of You.
Oh.
Number four, Sandra Napero. Number three, Black Museum. Number two, Hang the DJ.
Okay.
Wow.
Number one, White Christmas.
Fair enough. As long as White Christmas was.
My top five minus the sun.
The remaining five for the top ten is number six is Hated in the Nation. Seven is Shut Up and Dance, which is season three, episode three. Number eight is Nosedive, season three, episode one. Number nine is USS Callister, season four, episode one. And number 10 is season one, episode two, 15 million credits.
Okay. I like that question a lot, you know. I did.
You did well.
We did. I want to rewatch
now.
Yeah. I'm gonna rewatch.
Yeah.
We got the first three locked in nicely. Yeah.
Because and that's the good thing about Black Mirror. You can just go back.
That's what I mean. Like now, I'm like, oh, Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
Go on. Let's have
that. I like
from the new newer season, Smithereens. I'm not just.
I didn't finish the newest season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As in
the latest one.
Yeah. I didn't.
The thing makes it. I like the latest.
The latest season is the one where they had. What name an episode?
My man from Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That okay. That's cool. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
The one that was up.
I didn't
in the
finish it properly.
That was my favorite episode. No.
That was my favorite episode.
No. Lock.
That was my favorite episode.
Lock Henry.
Yes.
Yeah,
because it was the most Black Mirror episode.
I thought the spaceship one was the most Black Mirror one.
Because it felt too much like USS Callister in that sense of just.
I thought Lock Henry
theme,
was.
I didn't enjoy it. It was too predictable. I knew how it was going to end.
The one I hated, absolutely hated.
The paparazzi one.
No,
because
was
it
the
been
like
so good.
The
Maisie
girl?
Day.
Who was it?
Should I watch Lock Henry?
She's
Miley Cyrus.
No, not Miley. It's the one where she's like
the demon.
Who's her? Salma Hayek is her like.
I know who's the one with the letters.
I actually hated that.
Wait,
one.
Sorry,
I don't even know how to describe it. That's how much I hated it.
Joan, what's it called?
My name is Joan or something.
Something, whatever.
That
I
one.
That episode.
I really didn't like it.
It just felt like Black Mirror.
The paparazzi
really
one that
didn't.
I disliked the most.
No, I hated that episode because it
I didn't like that one either. I didn't like that one.
And then they just made her a werewolf. Like it could have been.
It was just silly.
It could have been fantastic.
Yeah, it got silly really quickly.
But.
Yeah.
Too American. That's what it was. Because it had a great theme. The theme was fantastic. And then it was like, how dumb can we make this?
Yeah.
Then it was like, okay, now I hate it.
Yeah. Good question. Good question, man.
You need to watch Lock Henry.
I will.
That's my God, favorite. Yeah. Also, it's British other than the girl that's from industry.
Guys, I just had a fun. Had a good time. Anything else you want to discuss before we wrap up the episode? We did Peaky Blinders already. Having a look through.
Oh my gosh, Champion. Did we talk about Champion before?
No, you can run it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not coming back for season two, which is really sad.
Yeah, I saw it. Like, people were really sad about that.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, that's my main takeaway, is that it's not coming back for season two, which is really sad. I feel like it could have just... And it was nice to see Malcolm Camulete in something. And it was just... It's a different kind of show. You know I love a musical.
Mm.
And the music in there is actually good, guys. Which you never really get.
Nice rhythms, yeah, yeah.
The music's usually quite trash, but there's one song in there that I've actually listened to, like, outside the context.
Guess is a writer for the show, right? In terms of the actual song.
That makes complete sense.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Free Bosco, Bosco's back. Yeah, and it's like, oh, this is a song.
Yeah, drama,
this
okay.
is actually a tune. And then with the Rap Game UK.
Okay.
The longest scripted, non-scripted TV show, black TV show in UK history.
Really?
They're on their way to season six.
They
or
have
seven.
Been, yeah.
Is that Crepton Corning?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, it's one of my favourite shows, guys.
It's entertaining.
It is entertaining.
Okay.
It
has not been one singular success story from that show. but each episode, and Crepton Corning have gotten funnier. I don't think it's intentional. There's one episode they were just like, yeah, that was shit, man. Like, that was shit. Imagine you're spitting for your life. You've done your music video, everything. They're like, yeah, that was...
That went good.
Damn. And then they had a crossover with Champion. So they paired them up in teams for the rap game. And was like, you guys can make the theme song, basically, for the show.
And that's cool.
Malcolm Camulete and Ray Black, yeah, in the studio next door, like, yeah, that was cheeks, sweaty ass cheeks. Like, this is great TV, guys. Like, I love it. So, yeah. Congratulations to them. Longest non-scripted show. Kind of sad that.
We got them.
I think they were competing with Desmond's just in show in general.
Oh.
And Lem Time. Desmond's is the longest. It's six seasons or five seasons.
Yeah.
Longest black TV show in UK history. And then now they've
hit them. It.
Yeah. And I guess as long as they get season seven, they'll be officially the longest black TV show.
I know we don't respect necessarily. Oh, don't know if we do. I'm going to give you the top 10 British shows according to GQ. Oh, so number 10 is Peep Show. Where have you gone? Number 10 is Peep Show.
I'm not sure.
Okay, fair.
Number 9 is Doctor Who, series 3, season 3. I don't know who was in that. Does it say here?
Must be David Tennant.
Yeah, definitely. David.
Who's better, Tennant or Smith for you?
Tennant.
Okay. Tennant's called the Doctor. We all call him that now.
Yeah, he's like...
That's what I feel like he is.
But again, look at the trajectory of Smith's now star. Like,
Yeah.
I like Matt Smith.
Yeah, same.
Oh, other than what film was he in? Morbius? Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. Come Down With Me is number 8.
That's
so funny. I didn't even think shows like that would be part of this list, but yeah.
Has some of the best quotables of all time.
Yeah.
So funny.
In Grace and Decorum.
Number 7 is The Traitors. Haven't seen it.
I've watched like a few episodes. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Number 6 is Derry Girls. Never seen it.
Oh, no. Derry Girls is so good.
I didn't do it in a shady way, I just haven't.
Derry Girls is.
I need to watch it.
Funny.
I heard it's really, really good. apparently, the lead in the next, is it The Crown? No.
And Bridgerton.
Oh, Bridgerton. Yeah.
She's from Derry Girls, yeah.
37.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bombi.
I know.
Number 6 is Line of Duty, season 3 specifically.
Good taste.
Not mad at it. Number 4 is Big Brother, Celebrity.
No.
Okay.
Don't know where we're going with that. Number 3 is Fleabag.
Okay. Fair.
I'm not shocked.
Okay.
Number 2 is The Office, the British version.
I'm surprised The Office, the US version, works as well as it does.
Yeah.
It's quite a British concept.
But it didn't at first though.
Yeah, I feel
the first season is not that good.
It's not.
I think
it's
the
because
first
they were trying
episodes.
To be. Yeah. The start of it, I think they were trying. They were leaning too much on the blueprint that they had from the UK one. And we're not the... It's not the...
But it changed after they did Diversity Day.
It changed.
That was you know, that was the one that got...
Yeah, that's what it becomes so strong. Yeah.
Woman? That is my favourite.
That was the episode that I liked the most. And then number 1, You'll Be Happy, I May Destroy You.
Oh, good. Yeah. Shout out to Michaela Cole, bro.
Michaela Cole, man. She ate, bro.
Guys, we're going to wrap up the episode. We're going to thank our friend of the show, Ore, for joining us. Ore, for
you. Which is another episode with British films specifically.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm up for that one.
You can talk about Riley for 5 hours.
Okay. I didn't even think of that, but yes, I will. Make it 6 hours.
Bisola was delighted that you were here to join us as well.
I was, yeah.
Because she feels like she's been around too much.
Testosterone.
Yeah,
that's the word we use.
Oh, is that annoying?
I just said it's been a cock fest over
here. So yeah, thank you for joining us. You're welcome back whenever you want.
Thanks.
So if you anything you want to talk about, you can let us know. You can come back on.
Yeah,
we love having
you a message.
We love having you on the pod as well. You've been a great, great guest.
Thanks, sir. Oh my god.
Hall of Famer. She's only guest to have more than one episode.
Hall of Famer.
Don't invite anyone else back on for the second time. Yeah. Trying to keep that record.
You've done more episodes than Jason.
I'm back. And that's a wrap. Post Credit Scene podcast. Over and out.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.